I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, April 29th. A local man who, at the outset of the coronavirus pandemic, sold devices designed to be worn around the neck that he falsely claimed protected against viruses and bacteria, has been sentenced to a year of probation. 38-year-old Julie Lynn of Quincy was also fined $1,500 at his sentencing this week. He pleaded guilty in December to the distribution and sale of an unregistered pesticide. Lynn, starting in March of 2020, listed for sale on eBay what was called a Tomit virus shutout. It was a card-shaped device to be worn as a lanyard around the user's neck. Online listings for the product included the explicit claim that it would protect the wearer from viruses or bacteria, and that the product's main ingredient was chlorine dioxide. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration last April issued a warning about chlorine dioxide, saying that it's not been shown to be safe and effective for any use, including COVID-19, and could even be dangerous. A pesticide is any substance intended for preventing, destroying, or repelling any pest, including viruses, according to prosecutors. Pesticides must be registered with the EPA. Tomit virus shutout was not registered, and it is illegal to distribute or sell unregistered pesticides. Quincy City Councilor at Large Ann Mahoney says Quincy College should consider joining the state's community college system. Mahoney plans to introduce a resolution to that effect when the City Council meets on Monday. If approved, it calls upon the school's Board of Governors to meet with state officials to consider alternatives to its current operations, such as merging with Massasoit Community College or operating as a community college in its own right. Quincy College is currently owned by the City of Quincy. Is one of just a handful of municipally owned institutions of higher learning remaining in the country. The school currently leases space at President's Place on Hancock Street. Mayor Thomas Koch has proposed constructing a new 15-story building at the site of the Monroe Building across the street to house both the college and the municipal offices, now located in the City Hall Glass Building. The mayor seeking the council approval to borrow $23 million in the first step. Those funds would include $15 million to buy the Monroe Building and a parking lot, $6 million to relocate the tenants of the Monroe Building, and $2 million for consultant services. Construction of the new building itself could cost more than $100 million. High school students in Quincy will be able to take college-level courses at Quincy College before they graduate high school under a new program. It's called Early College, a new state program designed to help low-income and students of color the opportunity to take college-level classes with the goal of helping them enroll in college after high school. The State Street Foundation has awarded $1.3 million to both high schools in Quincy and two in Boston to fund the program. High school students who participate can take college classes during their high school day. Officials said data shows that students who attend early college are much more likely to enroll in college after they graduate high school. The program still needs state approval. There were 10 new cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy yesterday. The active case total is now 99. Quincy's positivity rate, 2.6%. City is in the yellow category. The risk assessment map, there have been 152 deaths. Attorney General Mara Healey, seen as a possible candidate for governor next year, is calling for mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations for public employees, saying it's a matter of public safety. People have a right to refuse a vaccine or seek a health or religious exemption, but Healey suggested those abstaining may effectively forfeit the right to public sector employment. Responding to vaccine hesitancy among state police and corrections officers, Healey said in March that vaccines should be mandated for those employees. Governor Baker, who has yet to say whether he will seek a third term, has hesitated to mandate vaccines. During a radio appearance this week, Healey also urged the public to be wary of various vaccine-related scams, many of which are an attempt to steal personal information. Seniors at more than a dozen Boston high schools will be able to celebrate their graduation at America's most beloved ballpark. The Boston Red Sox announced that Fenway Park will host commencement ceremonies for 15 of the graduating high school classes around the Boston public school system. The team plans to hold those ceremonies at the ballpark from June 7th through the 21st, according to the Red Sox. The opportunity to hold a graduation at Fenway was offered to all 38 high schools in the district. Some schools had already secured traditional outdoor venues or will be holding a ceremony at other locations. Students and families will sit in Fenway's bleacher seats. As many as four different graduation ceremonies will take place on any given day. Middleweight boxing champion Marvelous Marvin Hagler is being celebrated in his hometown with a street named in his honor. The Brockton City Council this week approved a proposal by two councilors to name a currently under construction street Marvin Hagler Drive. Hagler, who died in March at age 66, finished his professional career with a 62-3-2 record with 52 knockouts. The street will intersect Petronelli Way, the site of the gym where Hagler was trained and managed by the Petronelli brothers. Hagler was born in Newark, New Jersey, moved with his family to Brockton in the late 1960s. Some relatives still live there today. For anybody who still hasn't gotten around to getting a real ID, you're in luck. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said that the October 1st deadline will be pushed back 19 months to May 3rd of 2023 due to COVID-19. By that date, every air traveler 18 or older will need a Real ID compliant driver's license or ID card, state-issued enhanced driver's license, or another TSA-acceptable form of identification to make it through airport security. The change will impact travelers flying domestically. If by 2023 you still don't have a real ID, a valid U.S. passport can also be used for domestic flights. Well, Six Flags New England will reopen next month. Governor Baker announced this week that amusement parks in Massachusetts can reopen at 50% capacity starting May 10th. Six Flags said it will open to season pass holders on Friday, May 14th, and then to the public the next day. Tickets must be reserved online in advance with specific arrival times. Masks will be required. All rides and attractions will be open, but rows or seats will be left empty to ensure social distancing. President Biden declared that America is rising anew as he called for an expansion of federal programs to drive the economy past the pandemic and broadly extend the social safety net on a scale not seen in decades. Biden's nationally televised address to Congress, his first, raised the stakes for his ability to sell his plans to voters of both parties, even if Republican lawmakers prove resistant. President's following last night's speech by pushing his plans in person, beginning in Georgia today, and then on to Pennsylvania and Virginia in the days ahead. In the address, Biden pointed optimistically to the nation's emergence from the coronavirus scourge as a moment for America to prove that its democracy can still work and maintain primacy in the world. Senator Tim Scott accused Democrats of dividing the country and suggested that they're wielding race as a political weapon, using the official Republican response to President Biden's maiden speech to Congress to credit the GOP for leading the country out of its pandemic struggles and toward a hopeful future. Scott from South Carolina, in his nationally televised rebuttal of Biden's address, belittled the new president's initial priorities aimed at combating the deadly virus and spurring the economy as wasteful expansions of big government. Vice President Kamala Harris and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made history last night as the first women, one of them Black and Indian American, to share the stage in Congress during a presidential address. President Biden noted the historic development at the very opening of his address. After taking the podium, Biden greeted the two women standing behind him with a Madam Speaker and Madam Vice President. He then declared, "No president has ever said those words," and said it was about time. Federal agents raided Rudy Giuliani's Manhattan home and office yesterday, seizing computers and cell phones in a major escalation of the Justice Department's investigation into the business dealings of former President Trump's personal lawyer. Giuliani, the 76-year-old former New York City mayor, once celebrated for his leadership after 9/11, has been under federal scrutiny for several years over his ties to Ukraine. The dual searches sent the strongest signal yet that he could eventually face federal charges. Biden administration's considering a near wholesale rollback of some of the most stringent Trump-era sanctions imposed on Iran in a bid to get the Islamic Republic to return to compliance with a landmark 2015 nuclear accord. As indirect talks continue this week in Vienna to explore the possibility of reviving the nuclear deal, American officials have become increasingly expansive about what they might be prepared to offer Iran, which has been driving a hard line on sanctions relief, demanding that all U.S. penalties be removed. The U.S. economy is quickly strengthening, inflation showing signs of picking up, and the nation's making progress toward defeating the pandemic. But yesterday, Chair Jerome Powell made clear the Fed's not even close to beginning a pullback in its ultra-low interest rate policies. Check of business news this morning. Stocks retreated yesterday. The Dow was down 164. The NASDAQ fell 39. The S&P lost 3. World shares advanced. The dollar rose. The euro fell. Oil at over $64 a barrel. Sports. Red Sox shut out the Mets 1-0. They will be in Texas tonight at 8:05. Celtics beat Charlotte 120-111. They will take on San Antonio at the Garden tonight 7:30. Rather, tomorrow night at 7:30. The Bruins are at home tonight against Buffalo at 7 o'clock. The National Weather Service forecast for today, scattered showers and steadier rain with a high 55. Rain will linger into this evening, a low of 49. Tomorrow will be windy with a morning shower, high of 64. Saturday, partly sunny, breezy, high of 61. And cloudy on Sunday, but mild, high Sunday near 70 degrees. For the boater today, waves about 2 feet, a light easterly wind, high tide at 2 p.m. Sunrise at 5:41, set at 7:41. So again, scattered showers today in the mid-50s. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, April 29th.